to do this morning, but I figured we'd share something that's a little bit connected to one of the most amazing two words in the whole Torah, I think, and connected to the Parsha from this past Shabbos, connected to Pirkei Avos, which we started to learn this past week, and connected to Sfiras Omer and the whole Avodah of these days. Okay, so first let me show you an unbelievable Vart from the Heilige Ostrovtser, Rav Meir Yechiel Halevi, better known as the Ostrovtser. He was a huge tzaddik in Poland, passed away in 1928. He fasted Yom and Valayla for a very long time. I told you about him once in the past. He had a mathematical mind that was of a totally different level. And he comments on the words in regarding Aaron's response to the death of his children, right? Which is obviously one of the very painful highlights of this past parsha. You have Chanukah Samishkan, right? Vayera Kvod Hashem. Hashem's coming down to reveal himself to Klal Yisrael. And then, very tragically, we learn of the death of Aaron's children. So Moshe tries to comfort Aaron, and he says, "B'krovai ekadesh, v'alpenei kol ha'am ekaved, v'yidom Aaron." Right? And somehow Aaron, with superhuman strength, is able to what? Is v'yidom Aaron. Aaron is quiet. Aaron is silent. Aaron doesn't respond the way that one would expect a person to respond to such a tragedy. Somehow he has this inner fortitude that he's able to be quiet. But the word vayidom is a very interesting word, no? What does that mean, vayidom? What does dom mean? Dom means silent. But it's a very specific type of silence. So the Ostrovtser, there's a sefer of his teachings collected teachings called Beis Meir, and because his name was Meir Yechiel Halevi. And he asked the question, he says, why does it say vayidom? It's such a funny word, vayidom. Right? It should say v'shasak Aaron. Aaron was silent. Shtika is a normal way to say silent. Vayidom is an unusual way to describe silence. So, Chaver, listen to what he says here. And again, it's a superhuman level of Aaron HaKohen. Vare'isi b'shem hagon HaKadosh me'ostrivso. Ki ha'briya nechleka l'dalet chalakim. Chaver, we know that you can divide up the whole world into really four, right? We spoke about four, really a fifth category, but four categories. There's domeim, there's inanimate objects. There's tzomeach, there's plant life, chai, animals, and medaber, and there's people, those who have the ability to speak and to reason. So how does it typically work? Hamedaber kishemitzaro moso, hu miskomim neged hamitzaro leshalim lo kimefalo. If someone insults you, right? You're a medaber. You're a person with feelings and emotions. You have the ability to think and to feel and to reason. So when someone hurts you, when someone attacks you, when someone pains you, so it's typical, right? It's regular human to want to rise up against that person, to get even, to respond. V'hachai, the same thing is true on a certain level in the animal kingdom. Kishemitzar moso al pi rov tzoik mitzaro uvoreach liyinotzel menatzar. Right? If, I don't know, if there's like some little bug that's trying or some little creature that's trying to attack you, right, and you strike it back, it'll run off. Right, every time I, you know, go out to take out the garbage and there's a squirrel sitting on top of the garbage can, right? So I stomp my feet or I clap my hands and the squirrel runs off, but it responds. It's aware of my presence. Hatzomeach kasher loch chmoso ochot chmoso ein biyado litzok olivroach, a flower, something that grows from the ground, right? A branch, you know, a dead branch of a tree that you're cutting off, something that's plucked out of the ground, so it can't scream, it can't respond, it can't make any sound, it can't run away. But when you pluck it from the ground, it also responds in the sense that what? It shrivels. If you detach it from its source, right, it will respond by changing its appearance. Its tsuraso is mishtana. Its appearance changes. V'rom kineskalkel v'nishtana tsuraso. As opposed to a domem, an inanimate object, which again, you could manually change its appearance. You could choose to grind up a rock or to chop up a piece of wood, right? But you can hit it, you could strike it. And again, the only changes that are going to take effect are the changes that you impose upon it. It doesn't respond. So if you kick a rock, the rock doesn't respond. The rock doesn't cry out. Again, the pressure you exert on the punnet will cause the rock to move. But the rock has no response of its own. The flower, if you pluck it from the ground, the flower itself, if you leave it alone, it'll start to respond. It'll change. An animal, if you attack it, it'll respond. A person will respond, be it physically or emotionally, right, or with words. A rock, an inanimate object, has no response. So Chevra explains the Ostrovser, what does it mean, Vayidom Aaron? It's not that Aaron kept his mouth shut. That's a madriga. If someone says something nasty to you, or someone does something harmful to you, and you don't respond with words, that's a remarkable level. But at least you're pained in your heart, you're pained in your mind. Vayidom Aaron means that Aaron made himself like a domim. When this terrible ason, this tragedy happened to Aaron, that his two sons died, Aaron was unmoved by it. He had such, interesting expression, rock solid faith in Hashem, that he wasn't hurt, he wasn't pained. Now again, you'll say that's not human, he should be pained. Obviously on a certain level, Aaron as a father was pained, of course he was. But the Torah is able to declare about Aaron HaKohen, Vayidom Aaron, that he had such emunah in Hashem, rock solid emunah in Hashem, that what? Tzuraso lo nishtana, v'gam achshavosu v'hargoshosu v'hayuka b'rishona. He was able to not change his appearance, he didn't look pained in his face, and he was able to what? When Moshe says to him, Aaron, this is part of Hashem's master plan, Aaron immediately, with unbelievable fortitude, is able to gather in, to harness his thoughts, to harness his feelings, and he went, ki'ilo, it hadn't even happened. And again, it wasn't blocking out his emotions. Right? This is different than blocking out one's emotions. This is having the clarity and the confidence in Hashem's decisions that one doesn't question at all, like a rock, unmoved by it. Ki'lo nisragiz mi'mishpat Hashem. Ki'yada ki'tzadik Hashem b'chol derachav v'chasid b'chol masav. The pasuk that we say every day in our Ashrei, Tehillim Kuf Mem Hei, Aaron HaKohen knew it in the strongest way that he was unwavering in his faith. He didn't question Hashem even the slightest bit. Not like a person, not like an animal, not like a plant, who are all impacted by their surroundings, but like a rock that is unchanged by the experiences that happen, so to speak, to it. Now I want to point out, I didn't give it to you on the source sheet today, but there's a sefer I have here called Tzemach Hashem Litzvi. Tzemach Hashem Litzvi by Ritzvi Hirsch of Nadvarna. He was a Talmud of the Maggid of Mezrich, third generation Hasidus. And in Parsha Shemini, he also has a very similar Torah. He starts off by quoting from the Pasuk. Save my wife. The Pasuk in Eicha, in the third parak of Eicha. Listen to this Pasuk. The Pasuk says, Tov v'yachil vidumam l'shuas Hashem. And it's an important pasuk to connect. Listen again to the pasuk. Tov, it is good, v'yachil vidumam, to hope in silence l'shuas Hashem, for the salvation of Hashem. What does that mean, to hope in silence, vidumam? So again, he writes here, again, you don't have it in front of you, but he writes here, lif'amim tzarech shia adam v'madregas domim. A person sometimes has to be like a domim. By the way, you say it every time you finish your Shmona Esrei. What do you say? It's based on the Gemara in Brachos. He quotes it here. What do we say? V'nafshi ka'afar l'chol tiyah. My soul should be like afar. The same way the dirt is not insulted if you say something hurtful to it. So I should be such a humble person, such an accepting person, that I don't question, shelo yahar acher midos of Yisbarach, I don't question Hashem, that I'm able to what? Vayidom Aaron, to be absolutely silent with the confidence that Hashem knows what He's doing. And he quotes other psukim, several of them appear in Eicha, obviously, because Eicha is the safer of dealing with our tragedies. But again, these two tzaddikim say the same yesod, which is Vayidom Aaron, is not that Aaron was quiet. That Aaron was Vayidom, he was like the Madrega of Domim. Okay? So deeply, again, not just quiet, but that his insides were not stirred to question Hashem even slightly. It's an unbelievably high level. And the reason I want to share this with you is because this was the first, regular Shabbos after Pesach. So we're between Pesach and Shavuos now. So let's think about what Pesach is. Let's think about what we're trying to get to on Shavuos. And then let's try to understand why the Torah is giving us this message. Now, the truth is, this message of silence also appears twice in Pirkei Avos from this past Shabbos, right? So, for example, you have Amor Ma'at Va'aseh Harbe. Right? That's also an expression of say less, to learn to be, learn to say less and to do more. Or how about at the very end of Pirkei Avos in this week's parak, right? Shimon, the son of Rabbi Gamliel, said, Kol Yamai Gadalti Ben HaChachamim, I grew up amongst very wise people, V'lo Matzasi L'guf Tov Elishtika, and I never found anything better for my body other than silence. So we're learning about three different madrigos, really, of quiet. Emor Ma'at, say less and do more. We're learning about a madriga called Shtika, what we would call regular silence. And then we're learning about this madriga of Aaron HaKohen, of Vayidom Aaron, this awesome silence of unbelievable self-control, where a person is able to what? To be unchanged by even the most difficult things, because he has a certain confidence in Hashem's master plan. By the way, since we didn't get to it last week, I'll just tell it to you quickly because it's beautiful. The Kajet Sar Magid, our Rebbe, the Avodas Yisrael, on these words, Emor Ma'at Vaseh Harbe, says a beautiful pshat. What's the Pasha pshat? Emor Ma'at, don't talk so much, right? And take action, Vaseh Harbe, and do a lot. But the Kajet Sar Magid, he says it a few different nuanced ways. He says it sort of a couple times. But Emor Ma'at Vaseh Harbe means to believe that Emor Ma'at, that the little bit that you say, Aseh Harbe, can accomplish a lot. Or the way that sometimes it's explained, Emor Ma'at, if you talk less, Aseh Harbe, when you do talk, it'll accomplish more. The person who always has something to say, the person who always has a comment, people don't take that person so seriously. Right? So, you know, so one day you're going to be, you're going to be involved in your child's school or yeshiva, or you'll be involved in your shul, right? And maybe you'll be on the board or whatever, if your shul has a board, right? And there's going to be someone who, whenever, like, you know, matters of shul policy or discussions come up, there's going to be someone, or in your office, wherever it is, there's going to be someone in some environment who, like, always thinks he has the answer. He's the first one to always jump to speak. Just like Haman, the Gemara highlights, right? It was the first of Ahasuerus' advisors who had something to say. There's the person who always has you know, a strong opinion about whatever the situation, whatever the decision is. And then there's the person who's much more guarded with his speech, who doesn't comment all the time, who saves his words for that right moment. And in that moment, when that person says, I feel very strongly about this, people take that person seriously. Because Emor Ma'at, the fact that they use their words cautiously, when they do speak Aseh Harbe, it accomplishes a lot. Or similarly, again, to believe that when I say a little bit, when I understand the power of a word of Torah or a word of Tefillah, it may be just a couple of words, but Aseh Harbe, I know that if I say them in a strong way, if I say, you know, a word of davening, and I say it from a deep place, even though it's only one word, it could rip open the Shemayim. So that's the power of Emor Ma'at Va'aseh Harbe. But however, I want to contextualize this whole thing of speaking little, or being quiet, or being on this Madrig of Domim, and use it to explain exactly what we're going through between Pesach and Shavuos, and really to start preparing ourselves for the Avodah of Chodesh Iyar, because that's really a lot of what this is about. Okay? So first of all, let's highlight the following. We remember the Rashi at the beginning of the Chumash. Why are you not an animal? What makes you different than an animal? Right? So you'll say, what do you mean? Hashem made an Adam, a Nefesh Chaya. Hashem made me a person. I'm a Nefesh Chaya. I'm a living being. An animal is also alive. A plant is also alive. What makes you more alive than an animal? So Rashi explains, in what way is an Adam a Nefesh Chaya? So Rashi says, Af behema v'chaya nikru Nefesh Chaya. What do you mean? An animal is also a Nefesh Chaya, is also a living creature. Achzo shel Adam chaya shebekulan. But you're the most alive. Why are you the most alive? Shenitose bodeya v'dibor. Because you have two things that an animal doesn't have, at least not on the madriga, not on the level that you have it. Yisrael Uri, you have something that animals don't have, and that's what? That you can speak and you can think. Animals don't have that. That's a chashuv thing. So we just left Mitzrayim. Pesach is getting out of Mitzrayim. And in Mitzrayim, we had lost our ability to think, and we had lost our ability to speak. Let's learn a piece in the Zohar. The Zohar says in Parshas Ve'era, and again, you'll see how it connects to Rosh Chodesh, which starts when? Chevra, when's Rosh Chodesh Iyar?
Tomorrow.
Yeah, tomorrow. It starts tonight. Tonight and Monday and Tuesday is Rosh Chodesh. Okay, the first day of Iyar is the second day of Rosh Chodesh, so Tuesday is Aleph Iyar. But again, Rosh Chodesh Iyar already, what we call Rosh Chodesh Iyar already begins tonight. Okay, so we need to understand the Avodah of Chodesh Iyar. Because when we left Mitzrayim, we didn't just reclaim our bodies, we didn't just reclaim our souls, but we reclaimed our ability to speak, we reclaimed our ability to think. A slave can't speak. A slave doesn't have a voice. A slave doesn't have an opinion. So it's ironic in a sense that the highlight in a sense of Parshas Shemini is the Vayidom Aaron, that Aaron is quiet. Hold on, didn't we just leave Mitzrayim? Didn't we just leave Mitzrayim and get our voice back? The Zohar says, Kol Zmana de Dibur Have Bigalusa. When we were in Mitzrayim, Dibur was in Galus. Speech was in exile. Moshe Azil Kola Below Dibur. Moshe, and by extension Klal Yisrael, had a kol, but they didn't have a dibor. That's why Moshe Rabbeinu says what? Rav Tzadok points out, let's pause in the Zohar for a second. Rav Tzadok points out that Moshe Rabbeinu, as he's being selected for the mission to take the Jews out of Mitzrayim, Moshe Rabbeinu, of course, says, Lo ish dvarim anochi. I'm not a man of speech. Moshe thinks he's feeling what Klal Yisrael are feeling, which is what? As slaves, I don't have a voice. As a slave, you can't voice your opinion and say, here's how I think we should proceed. A slave, you do what you're told to do. Don't talk. Keep quiet. So Dibor was in a state of galus in Mitzrayim. Moshe went with Kol and not Dibor. However, there are five parts of speech. You know what I mean by the five parts of speech? The Hey Motza Sapeh, the five parts of speech. The 22 letters of the Hebrew alphabet are formed from five different parts of your mouth. So you have letters that you form with your lips, like a bet, or a mem, or a pei. Right? You have letters that you form with your tongue, with your teeth, right? With your throat. Aleph, hey, ches, ayin. Those are the guttural letters of the throat. There's five different parts of speech. Five different parts of speech. We know that when we left Mitzrayim, we celebrate the Arba Lishonos Shel Geula, the four expressions, speech, the four expressions of Geula. We have four cups of wine at the Seder for the four cups of for the four expressions of speech. So I think we mentioned one time, the fifth, why don't we have a fifth cup of wine at the Seder? I'm not talking about Kosha Eliyahu, and I'm not talking about this year that we had on the fourth, and the four and fives, the fifth cup. Why don't we have a fifth cup corresponding to the fifth dimension of speech? Because our kol, our voice, was never enslaved. Our speech was enslaved, but the ability to scream, to just cry out, to just yell out, was never enslaved. So Sfasema says we have four cups of wine because four dimensions of speech were held in captivity. That fifth dimension, kol, to just scream like an animal shrieks, right, to let out a cry, that was something that we always had in Mitzrayim. Now, we didn't even realize that we had that for a while, but eventually Klal Yisrael cried out to Hashem, and that's where things started to change in Mitzrayim. Okay. But in Mitzrayim, Moshe Rabbeinu had a kol, and he didn't have dibor. V'hachi ozul ad dekrivu letura de Sinai. And that's how things continued until we came to the mountain of Sinai, Har Sinai. V'is yavis o'raisa, and we received the Torah. And at that time, says the Zohar, kol, which means raw sound, and dibor, and speech, really united. Ukedain mila malil. And then the words were spoken. And that's why Hashem begins his drasha at Har Sinai, kol ha-devarim ha'ela. Now God begins to speak to us, and that's reflecting the state of Klal Yisrael, that what? That we also are beginning to speak. But when you begin to speak, you have to keep in mind, again, what the Kashrut Sir Magid told us. Emor ma'at v'aseh harbe. You have to learn to take it slowly. Right? Just because you left Mitzrayim, don't become like a blabbermouth who always has something to say. You have to learn how to speak in a refined way. And I think that's the reason Parsha Shemini teaches us, and Pirkei Avos that we start learning right after Pesach, teaches us, I know you just got your voice back, but take it slow. Emor ma'at v'aseh harbe. There's a lot to learn, as Shimon, the son of Rabbi Gamliel, said, there's a lot to learn from shtika. And Aaron HaKohen says, and sometimes a person even needs to reach a level of vayidom, of being completely silent. Because through silence, a person can grow. Through silence, a person can think. And that's the other thing we got when we left Mitzrayim. If you're always talking, you can't think. If you can be quiet, then you can start to think. And again, that's what makes us human, right? Being saved from slavery means getting back your dibur and getting back your das. In Mitzrayim, the Jewish people didn't have das. It was a galus hadibur, like we just learned, and it was a galus hadas. Let me show you one more line from Rav Tzadok in source number 10. Rav Tzadok says, Shamati remes. The pasuk says, Vayashuvu vayachanu lifnei pihachiros. When the mouth goes free, he says, Rav Tzadok said, I heard a drasha. When the person has pihachiros, when your mouth is free to speak, make sure you think before you speak. Vayashuvu vayachanu lifnei pihachiros. Shitzarech lehisyashev v'lachanos kodem shiyotze piv lecheres. Ledaber kechola ola al rucho. Before you say whatever comes to your mind, vayashuvu vayachanu. Camp out for a minute, slow down, pause, think, and then set your mouth free. Because if you don't think before you speak, you're going to get yourself into a lot of trouble. So leaving Mitzrayim, again, reclaiming our speech, comes along with reclaiming our thoughts, the ability to think carefully. Says the Apter Rav in source number 12, Yadua ki ikar hagalus hu galus hadas. The main galus of Mitzrayim was what? Was a galus hadas. Our minds were held in captivity. So therefore, when we leave Mitzrayim, we have to remind ourselves, now you can speak. But you have to think before you speak. And you have to learn how to think again, because you didn't know how to think in Mitzrayim either. A slave can't think independently, just like a slave can't voice his opinions. And if you don't stop to think, you're going to run through life and you're going to constantly say the wrong things and you're going to do the wrong things. So emor ma'at va'aseh harbe, right? Slow down a little bit. Take a moment to reflect before you march ahead. Okay, let's learn a piece of Mesilas Yesharim. And this is one of my favorite pieces in Mesilas Yesharim, because it helps us to understand, again, what we reclaimed when we left Mitzrayim. That's what we're in now. We're in Sfiras Omer. Today's the 14th day of the Omer. Okay, so we need to understand what the avoda of these days is all about. So, Chavis, listen carefully. Mesilas Yesharim, Rav Moshe Chaim Litzato, the Ramchal, who lived a very short life, as you can see, from 1707 to 1746. That means by the time the Ramchal was my age, he was dead, which is unbelievable if you think about it. He wrote Mesilas Yesharim, he wrote the Derech Hashem, he wrote poetry, he wrote plays, he was an awesome mekubal. Imagine what a person can accomplish in such a short lifetime. Unbelievable, a short and controversial lifetime. So the Ramchal in Mesilas Yesharim writes about the complaint of Yirmiyahu HaNavi to Klal Yisrael. Let's read these words together. V'hine Yirmiyahu hayim misonin al roa b'nei doro, mibnei heyosom neguim b'nega hamida hazos. Yirmiyahu HaNavi complained to his generation that people suffered from this illness. What illness? Listen carefully. Shahayu ma'alimim einayam mima'aseyam, that they hid their eyes, so to speak, from their actions. They didn't slow down to think about what they were doing. Belishia simulev liros mahim. They didn't contemplate what they were doing. Haleasos im lehayazev. There's too many things that we just do automatically, robotically, and we don't think about why we do it. You know? We don't stop to contemplate. Why do I do these things? Like David Lipschitz was telling us before Shir, you know, there's certain ways that we could, you know, change the way that we function. And maybe there's certain things that we do that you know, there's a better way to do it. Va'amar aleihem ein ish nicham al ra'aso le'mor, kulo shav b'merutzasam kisus shotef v'mochama. The Navi Yirmiyahu laments the fact, and he says, you don't stop to think about your evil ways. Rather, listen to these words, you're rushing like a horse that is shotev mochama, like a horse that's marching or that's running headstrong onto the battlefield. When the horse is plowing ahead, right, the rider has to be paying attention to where the horse is, because the horse is just running, the horse is just going. V'hainu shayu rodfim v'holchim b'merutzas hergelam. Some of us just run through life. We do the things we're accustomed to doing. We do what we're used to. Mibli she'anichu zman la'atzmam ledaktik amasim v'adrachim. Without stopping to think, am I doing good things or not doing good things? I'm speaking too quickly. I'm not stopping to think enough, right, before I act. And again, that's part of becoming a free person on the way to Har Sinai. Again, what did the Zohar tell us? When did we really get our speech? We left Mitzrayim. Right? The second we leave Mitzrayim, we get our speech. But the Zohar is telling us a deep sod. The Zohar is saying, no, until Hashem starts to speak on Shavuos, Vayedaber Elokim es kol advar me'ela, it's at that moment that Kol and Dibor really unify. Up until that point, there's still a disconnect. So the entire period of Sfiras HaOmer is working through a process of reclaiming speech, reclaiming our thoughts, learning how to speak again. And the way to do that is carefully and slowly. So says the Mesilas Yesharim, Ulam hine zos be'emes achas mitach bulos ha'yetzahara va'aramasa, one of the greatest techniques of the Yetzahara. And Chevra, part of the reason I'm sharing this with you is not only because it's our Parsha, and not only because it's Pirkei Avos, and not only because it's the Avoda of Chodesh Iyar, as we'll see in a moment, and Sfiras HaOmer, but because the end of the semester is a time where people get really stressed out. And you got to find a way to take a breath. You got to find a way for these next, you know, as you wrap up the year, you got to find a way to just like take a deep breath, regain control of your mind, right? Regain control of your speech, and then do what you got to do, because the Yetzer Hara loves to overwhelm people, and I often find that the guys, you know, at the end of the Zman, especially as finals come around, people get super overwhelmed and stressed out. So you need to find a way to catch your breath. The Jews in Mitzrayim were kotzer ruach from the avoda kasha. They were short in breath. They couldn't take a breath. You got to learn how to take a breath. The Yitzhahara comes to a person and is hachbid avodaso besmidus alibos b'nei ha'adam at shelo yisha'er lahem revach lezbonen lustakel be'eze derachem holchim. The Yitzhahara makes you so overwhelmed, constantly burdening a person, to the point that you can't stop to think. And you don't even contemplate what is the path that I'm going upon. Because the Yetzirah knows that if you would just calm yourself down and realize that there are bigger things in life than whatever the stress is that faces you at this moment, if you would be able to just think about the things that you're doing, am I feeding bad habits as a way to just, you know, soothe my soul, I would realize this doesn't make sense. I don't want to live this way. And that's exactly what Paro did in Mitzrayim. And that's what we're trying to free ourselves from. Mesilas Yesharim says, this is exactly what Paro did in Mitzrayim. Tichbar ha'avoda ala anashim. Paro made us work and work and work and work to the point that we couldn't think. We couldn't have a conversation with Hashem. We couldn't have a conversation with a friend. We were too busy for everything. Shayim miskavin shalo la'aniach lahem revach. Klal lebilti yitnu lev. O yasimu eitz anegdo. That they didn't have time to think, they couldn't pause to take to heart or to make a plan. How can we fight against Paro? Elohai mishtad lafria liba mikol his boninus. Paro's goal was to burden us to such a way to stop us, lafria, to interfere with the hearts of the Jewish people from any contemplation. No time to think at all. The avoda of Chodesh Iyar is to be a little bit quiet and to learn how to think again. What do you mean? We just got our speech. We have so much to say. But your speech is not going to be refined until you get to Har Sinai. And the way you refine your speech is thinking before you speak, is slowing down a little bit. The Sefer Yetzirah, probably the first and most important work of Kabbalah, the Sefer Yetzirah tells us that every month has a letter, every month has an action, every month has a body part. We've spoken about this in the past. The Sefer Yetzirah says, the letter for the month of Nisan is the letter Hey. The body part for the month of Nisan is the right leg. The horoscope, the astrological sign for the month of Nisan is the Tleh, is the lamb, the sheep. But the action for the month of Nisan is Sicha, is speaking. And that's what we did a lot on Pesach. Pesach, like the Arizal says. Kolamar belesaper harezim meshubach. We talk a lot on Pesach because we're excited. We just got our voice back. But then Iyar comes and says the Sefer Yetzirah, the book of creation attributed to Avram Avinu, the earliest of Kabbalistic works, the Sefer Yetzirah says, comes along the month of Iyar, and the action for the month of Iyar is what? Is Hirhor, is thinking. Interesting. We leave Mitzrayim in Nisan, and it's a month where we have a lot to say, and we should. We just got our voice back. Hashem gives us permission to talk a lot, and that's why the Seder night is all about Dibor. But then Hashem says, okay, but by the time you get to Shavuos, you have to learn how to talk differently. You have to learn how to talk like a Jew. You gotta learn like a talk like a Ben Torah, not just a person who's freed from the slavery of Mitzrayim, but there's a different type of speech I want you to acquire. So the way we do that is in the month of Iyar through what? Through thinking. And that's why Pirkei Avos says, Emor Ma'at Vaseh Harbe. Kol Yamai Gadalti Ben HaChachamim. And the best thing you could do is Shtika. And Aaron HaKohen says there's a level called Vayidom Aaron. To be so still and so quiet, right, that everything is being received from the outside, that I'm not bringing my own feelings even to the table. I just want to be makabel from Hashem. I want to accept from Hashem in the deepest way. The month of Iyar, of course, has many exciting moments. Right, we have Lag BaOmer. Right, we have celebrations of Eretz Yisrael, the modern state of Israel. There's a lot of excitement in the month of Iyar. There's a lot of things happening in the month of Iyar. A lot of things to contemplate. A lot of things to reflect upon. But one of the highlights of Chodesh Iyar, of course, is Pesach Sheni. What is Pesach Sheni? What an interesting thing. What is Pesach Sheni? If you were Tamei, or you were too far away to bring the Karban Pesach on the 14th of Nisan, so you can make up for it in the month of Iyar. The Gemara in Brachos, in the final source, the Bnei Yisachar quotes the Gemara in Brachos. The Gemara in Brachos on Daf Chaf, some of you probably learned this sugya before, the Gemara discusses a concept of Hirhor Kedibor Dami. What does that mean, Hirhor Kedibor Dami? What does that mean? Is thinking like speaking? I had a friend of mine who's a Rebbe in a yeshiva high school, and a number of years ago he was damaging his vocal cords because he speaks very loudly when he gives shir, a lot of energy, a lot of gusto, so he had to have surgery on his throat. And part of his tikkun, part of his refuah, was that after he had this surgical procedure, he wasn't allowed to talk. Extremely dangerous for him to talk. He absolutely could not speak at all. So what would you do, Avi, if you, God forbid, you know, had to have a surgical procedure on your throat and you couldn't speak? How would you daven? Would you think your Shmona Esrei? How would you count Sfiras HaOmer? It was this time of the year. How would you count Sfiras HaOmer if you're not allowed to talk? Would you write down? Is writing sometimes considered like speaking? The Gemara discusses such a thing. Ksiva kedibor? How about hirhor kedibor? Is thinking like speaking? Jonathan Berger, what would you say? You think, if you think you're Shmona Esrei, does that count as if you davened? So this friend of mine spent a long time working on this sugya. Say that again, I didn't hear you.
You have no choice.
Yeah, maybe...
You
maybe
have no if, other choice.
Yeah, maybe if dibor is not a choice, maybe... And again, the Gemara discusses this as a halachic concept. Is there such a truth of hirhor kedibor dami? Now, again, in halacha, what we normally assume is not so much hirhor kedibor. We usually assume hirhor is not kedibor. But again, maybe b'shas hadchak, maybe that's what the poskim would actually tell one to do if you're not able to speak, since we have such a concept that hirhor kedibor. So if you can't, for whatever reason, you're not able to say it, physically unable to say it, maybe thinking it would count on some level. But explains the holy Bnei Yisachar, if the month of Nisan is speech, and the month of Iyar is thinking, and we have a concept of Hirhor, Kedibor, that means Iyar is like Nisan. You get it? Hirhor is like Sicha. Iyar, the month of Iyar, is like Nisan. In other words, it's such a Chiddush, Pesach Sheni. Do we ever find that there's like a round two for the mitzvah? If you miss the mitzvah, so we'll give you another mitzvah, which is sort of, you know, a makeup for that mitzvah. What a unique concept. But explains the Bnei Yisachar, yes. Because Hirhor Kedibor, if you understand the inner workings of the months, you understand that Hirhor is like Dibor, that Iyar is like Nisan, and therefore Iyar is the tikkun for Chodesh Nisan. So let's put it together for a second. So we leave Mitzrayim, and we reclaim our mind, we reclaim our speech. And Hashem says to us, Pesach is Pesach, talk all you want. Sipur Yitzias Mitzrayim. Kol amar belesaper hareza meshubach. Talk as much as you want. But then the month of Iyar comes, and it's time to what? Like Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai himself, to retreat to the cave a little bit, you know, to turn inwards. It's a time for a person to what? To be contemplative. Because if I don't think before I speak, I get myself into trouble. Again, like Rav Tzadok told us, right? Ve'yashuvu ve'yachanu lifnei piachiros. Before you set your mouth free, you have to think. So Hashem gave us a gift. It's called Chodesh Iyar. Hirhor kedibor dami. That's how we complete the galus hadas, the freeing of the mind, right? Not making the mistake that the Mesilas Yesharim says that Yirmiyahu Navi was screaming about, that too many people are running through life without stopping to think. And Hashem doubles down on that in a real way by saying, Pesach Sheni. I'll give you a Yom Tov called Pesach Sheni. Explains the B'nai Yisachar in the final source. Hinei Nisan Makrivan Karban Pesach, because it's Pesach, as the Arizal explains. V'hinei HaChodesh Mesuga Lezeh, Ki Hu Chodesh Asicha. It makes sense that we should have a Pesach in Nisan, because that's the action of the month, according to Sefer Yetzirah, talking. But then, Mishalo Karav Karbano B'Chodesh Asicha, if you didn't bring your Karban in the month of speech, Machmas Ones, Tuma, or Derech Rechoka, because of an inability to do so because you were Tameh or too far away from Beis HaMikdash, Hinei Yashlim B'Chodesh HaHirhor. You can make up for it in the month of Hirhor. Why? Ki Hirhor Kedibor Dami. Because Iyar is like Nisan. Iyar is a time for a Jew to think, and then when you think, you're able to speak so much better. It enhances your speech. And then you come to Har Sinai, and the Zohar comes full circle. Then you come to Har Sinai, and Hashem begins to speak to us. Vayedaber Elokim Eskol LeDvar Ma'ila. Hashem begins to talk the Torah to Klal Yisrael, and then we're able to, with our much more refined speech that we improved and enhanced throughout the contemplative, quiet periods of Iyar, we're able to really talk the way Hashem wants us to speak. So again, I think it's not by chance. Again, it's very much b'hashgacha pratis that HaKadosh Baruch Hu sends this lesson of Aaron HaKohen to us right after Pesach. And Hashem sends these messages of Pirkei Avos to us right after Pesach. Because if you understand how to be quiet, then you can really understand how to speak. And that's the avoda of the month of Iyar. Okay? What do you say, Chavra? True ideas? It's unbelievable madrega just to think that a person could have such bittul to Hashem that Aaron was mamish like a rock. If Hashem wants to take away my children, I'm ready to be makaba without any response whatsoever. It's an unbelievable madrega. But again, it's dafka, a person like that. And Aaron, Moshe said from the beginning, Aaron should be my spokesman. Aaron's a great speaker, but it's because he's also a great listener. He's great at being quiet, and that's why Aaron knows how to speak. Moshe Rabbeinu has to go through this process of lo ish devar manochi, right? I don't know how to speak. And Hashem says, but that's also why you're the spokesman of Klal Yisrael. So the person who knows how to be quiet is the person who knows how to speak. You'll remember that. You'll think about that, you know, when you're sitting in a board meeting one day, and a lot of people have a lot to say. You'll see the person who speaks last is probably the person who's right. All right, Shavua Tov, Gudvach.